from the island of Kauai. Greetings of love to Infinite Way students everywhere. We have been told that no human being can see God face to face. But our Bible tells us that God spoke to Moses face to face. The book of Proverbs speaks of meeting God face to face. And Paul tells us that we shall overcome our mortal vision and see God face to face. Jacob, struggling to find his true identity, wrestled all night with an intruder. Cosmic mind was trying to prevent his spiritual birth, but he won. And when he had established his spiritual identity, he made this revealing statement: I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob associated the preservation of his life with seeing God face to face. And today, we are going to see that preservation of life meant transition to divine life while still on the earth. About 20 years ago, just a shade under, it was before Christmas of 1963. Infinite Way students around the world received their letter from Joel. It was the January 1964 copy of the monthly letter. And in it, Joel said, "This comes to you from London. As the year 1963 draws to a close, the most momentous year of my work since my initiation and instruction in the Infinite Way in 1946. This year, the word came to me to take our students from metaphysics to mysticism." Now, Joe will call this change momentous. And it truly was, because it paved the way for students to see God face to face and to dissolve the false karma of the world. Those 1963 Infinite Way letters, which turned students over to mysticism, were the following: living now, barriers to spiritual attainment, when the Spirit of the Word is upon us, the power of resurrection, God-endowed dominion, mind imbued with truth, living divine sonship, beyond words and thoughts, the nature of consciousness, an idea whose time has come, transcending karmic law, and the revelation of spiritual identity. That's quite an imposing list. But then, only 6 months later, Joel made his own transition to teach his students from behind the veil. Incidentally, all of those titles, all those 1963 letters, are available to you in the book published in 1965, titled Living Now. They're all in there, and they're worth the reading, believe me. About the time of Joel's transition, within a few months. And then frequently, during the past 18 years, the mission given to me has been to quietly continue the mystical work initiated by Joel in 1963. Until the pure mysticism is firmly rooted in Infinite Way students who are making their total commitment to Christ within. And so in oneness with Source, inspired by the gentle presence, we have been moving together on the freeways of the soul toward an ever-expanding and fuller realization of divine sonship. Our only creed is truth. Our only weapon is spiritual consciousness. The only power we acknowledge is the ever-present will of the living God. The mystical path of the Infinite Way recognizes your spirit and the Spirit of God as one undivided being, not two. The mystical path leads you out of physical humanhood into divine life, into your divine body, untouched by false world powers. The mystical path teaches you to be a transparency for God. It teaches you how to live joyously, free, as spirit, in the kingdom of God, on earth. And finally, God willing, the mystical path teaches you to live like the prophets and to see God face to face. That is the meaning of illumination. And that illumination, when you see God face to face, shatters the world mind and its counterfeit, illusory universe of material form. None of these are abstract goals, nor are they attained after your so-called death. They are realized in this lifespan. The purpose of your mystical training is to live in the eternal now, expressing the life of God, enjoying the fruits of God, fulfilling the Word of God now, but never, never expect these sublime goals to be achieved without challenges. Remember, the Father is not going to hand over his universe to mortal hands. The divine plan may startle you at times. It may bewilder you. It may upset you. It may deflate you. And sometimes it'll seem to plunge you into despair. But one thing the divine plan will never do, and that is this: it will not let you fall asleep in a false state of mortal confidence. Revealing your perfection is the goal of the divine plan, and as long as you remain in humanhood, the challenges must continue to harass you, disturb you, and to pull the props out from under you until you realize that only your spiritual identity is you, and only your spiritual identity is the child of God. Now please know this. every human problem and every challenge to your humanhood is a secret initiation. Fight the challenge and you fail. Accept the secret purpose of the challenge. Do something about it and you pass, with appropriate rewards following. You should know now that Earth is your initiation, and it is the only way you can pass into the experience of living permanently in the kingdom of God. The one creative intelligence of the universe is carefully preparing you to inherit the life of God, and its methods must be more provocative than a paddling behind the woodshed or a sharp rap across the knuckles. The purpose of your initiation is to measure your strength and to alert you to your weaknesses. At every step up the spiritual ladder, you must be tested. You must be challenged. You must be evaluated to prevent you from slipping, from sliding, from moving in the wrong direction, to prevent you from reaching for false lures, and to prevent you from sinking in the quicksand of human apathy, human form, human ambitions, human self-indulgence, human life. Your transmutation to divine flesh is the secret will of God, and the harder you resist, the more earth-shaking the initiations become. Now, at one glorious point in your transformation to spiritual identity, a special challenge will appear on the inner plane to block your path. Esoterically, this challenge is called a lion, spelt the way it sounds, L-I-O-N. And you'll want to move from mortality to immortality, but on the threshold, this lion will be standing there, roaring, threatening, forcing you to make a big decision. Shall you advance into immortality, or shall you retreat back to physicality? There's only one way you can pass this initiation. You must shut the lion's mouth. You must prove that you are pure spirit, living under divine law. The teaching of this advanced initiation appears in the book of Daniel as the ordeal of Daniel in the lion's den. Actually, it is anything but an ordeal to Daniel. And today, hopefully, we will be able to see it in its true light as a secret teaching for all high initiates on the mystical path to transition. It is also a preparation for you to go beyond the lion into a still higher level of yourself. But let's take a look here now at the teaching given to us by the divine messenger called Daniel. Now, on the face of it, we have an impossible situation. And before our very eyes, it turns into a miracle. The famous prophet survived certain death, He remains all night in a den of lions, just as safe as if he were an infant asleep in a nursery. Then he walks out in the morning, safe, alive, without a scratch. And we are left to wonder, why did he do it? How did he do it? And even more important, what was Spirit telling us that we can do to follow the path of Daniel and to overcome the lions that we face every day in this material world? I think a meditation would be very important at this time. Lean not on thine own understanding, is the word of Isaiah. And this is precisely what Daniel had to do in that den. So why don't we lean not on our own understanding? Why don't we rest before we enter the lion's den and see if the Spirit can aid us in our quest for the secret of transition? If you have reached the point where you are free of personal self, free of the human sense of being a physical being sitting in a chair in a room, if you are open and attuned to the Spirit that is ever present, leading you into the kingdom, we are ready to put into action the message of the prophet Daniel. So put on your fourth dimension spectacles right now and look at a man living among lions whom you know is going to survive, and reach some kind of a conclusion right now. His mortal life walks out alive. Could yours, could mine, could anyone we know, without a pistol, a sword, and all kinds of human appurtenances to ward off those lions? What is it teaching us? As students on the mystical path, we are especially privileged because we are spiritually awake and ready to translate Daniel's technique into action that we can activate in the daily life that we are passing on this planet. And now let us see what marvelous surprises the Father has planted on earth for his spiritual children. Daniel was a messenger of God, probably one of the greatest spiritual teachers this world has ever known. He lived consciously in the kingdom of God, in his incorporeal body of spirit. He acknowledged no external world, no physical forms. His soul had married his spirit. His Christ consciousness was one with God, completely independent of all false world powers, because he had seen God face to face. Actually, the mastership of Daniel was so totally established that he could serve as a transparency to demonstrate the non-power and the non-reality of all material problems on this earth. He was never in danger. He had accepted this initiation for us to demonstrate to all future generations that death is a fraud, a non-happening, that we are not dying creatures with human problems, that spirit is the one identity, that spirit is the one infinite power, that divine life is the only life. All this, plus other truths so revolutionary that even today in the late 20th century, man has not caught up to them. Then, to top it all, Daniel left a written record to preserve his secrets and to lead us to our own liberation from the material dream. The initiation of Daniel begins as a conspiracy. The presidents, the princes, the lords of Babylon are all jealous of the famous prophet. Already he's the third highest ranking personality in the entire land. Equivalent of a prime minister, you might say. And his power keeps growing by the day, so his rivals now concoct this plan to put him out of the way. They persuade King Darius to decree that anyone who addresses a petition to God or to man, instead of to the king himself, is guilty of treason. The king is immensely flattered, and so he issues the royal decree. Standing outside the situation, you can see that world mind is setting a trap for Christ. It wants to catch Daniel in a treasonable act so that it can crucify him. Something that it is doing right now in the 20th century with every individual who is unaware of Christ within. Of course, Daniel knows all about the plan, and he intentionally breaks the plan. Right smack in the middle of it, he sits in such a way that the world can see him praying to God, and so he is now guilty of treason. He's cast into the den of lions. But very wisely, before he enters the den, in a series of mystical moves, he tells us exactly how he is going to walk out of there alive, how he is going to cheat death, and how anyone who follows his technique can do the same. And so, let us look at the secret of Daniel, which is in chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 of the book of Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the decree was signed, he went into his house, and please now, get your antennae up and hear every word of this mystical code. He went into his house, and his windows, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now that was a great crime. Daniel was praying and making supplication before his God. Within hours after that, Daniel was tossed into the lion's den. A stone was laid upon the mouth of the cave. And then the stone was sealed by the seal of the king and his lords. They were making real positive that there was no way for poor little Daniel to get out of there. And then the next morning, after a real difficult time with insomnia that night, the troubled king hurried to the den, and from outside he cried in a loud, sad voice, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" From inside the den came the voice of Daniel. And you'll find this in the 22nd verse of this 6th chapter. I really think these words are among the most important you will ever hear in your entire mystical path. Daniel said, "My God," this is still part of the clue to how he did it, "My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him," listen again carefully, "before him innocency was found in me." Daniel says that his God sent an angel and helped him because he was innocent. Not only was he alive, unbloody, and unbowed, but in his reply to the king, he concealed these mystical clues to those of us who are on the path of transition. What is innocency? Purity. Innocency is purity. And what is purity? Now that's the clue. Daniel was pure. So pure that he could see God face to face. And if we know what made Daniel pure, then we too are innocent, and we can see God face to face. Let's start out with purity of consciousness. That Daniel had been purified of all beliefs about God that are untrue. And the chief belief had been the belief in the existence of matter and material form. Unless you are purified of the belief in matter and material form, you are not considered innocent. You are not pure. And then the second key, my God. Who was Daniel's God? Did he have a special God different than everybody else? Yes, he did. That's the point. Daniel had a different God. The God of Daniel was not the God of this world. When Daniel said, my God, he was speaking of the God who must be your God if you want to see God face to face. Daniel was speaking of the one and only being who is present in the universe. That's Daniel's God. But he was going further than that. He was speaking of his own infinite spirit, knowing that his spirit and the spirit of God are one, the same one, the identical one. And so who was Daniel's God? Daniel's God was his infinite spirit, because there is no other God. So you see, to Daniel there was no God and. There was no infinite spirit and physical lions. No infinite spirit and a physical den. No infinite spirit and a physical Daniel. He was not in danger at all. He was not even in a den of lions. All that existed for Daniel was my God, the one infinite spiritual being, without opposite. That's the God who sent the angel. That's the God who found him innocent. His one infinite spiritual self being the only. He was in a state of infinite purity. And that was probably Daniel's major clue to mankind. But the other clues are very important, because they elaborate on his purity in giving us other spiritual principles that can eliminate death, destruction, disease, and the whole inventory of material nonsense that has accumulated in the world consciousness. The decree of the king, of course, is the world mind with its false beliefs. Poverty, hunger, war, unemployment, vandalism, crime, corruption. These are all the lions in the den of the cosmic mind. These are the universal beliefs and limitations which are a composite of the king's decree. Nobody may worship Daniel's God, but they got to worship the God of this false man sitting on a human throne. That's their God. That's the king's decree. But now here Daniel gives us his big clue again. Daniel's windows are open facing Jerusalem. And so when he defies the decree, you know that the windows of his soul are open, that his soul consciousness is attuned to his own spiritual infinite being. He's attuned to the real God. And he is because he's living outside the sense of form, outside the veil of the senses of the form. And therefore he is never separated from God. He is a pure channel. Through his infinite spirit flows divine life, wisdom, power, love, grace. Because his windows are open facing the true God, facing Jerusalem. And open implies that in a state of oneness he has, naturally, direct perception. The windows are not closed, they are open. His perception is not obstructed by a pane of glass or a mortal mind. We're going to come back to these later and make them part of our 7 p.m. California time meditation. So hear them and know that we will analyze them very carefully later and bring them into one fused working plan for you. Daniel's next clue is that three times daily he kneels and gives thanks before his God. Three times means he lives in the three higher kingdoms of soul, spirit, and divine life. Wearing the full armor of Christhood. He's not in a physical form. And if you're not wearing those fourth dimensional spectacles, you would be led to believe, as the world has, that he was living in the form called Daniel. Neither was he living in a material sense of life. But let's look deeper. And let's see that kneeling three times means that Daniel was dying to personal self. Kneeling, surrendering, dying to personal self. And three times mean that he completed the dying, that he was dead to mortal identity. There was no Daniel except to human viewers of Daniel. And by thanking God, he was mystically accepting one divine self, without opposite. One creator, one source, one infinite being, one spirit, with no material opposite. And it was in this mystical consciousness that Daniel disappeared, the lions disappeared, the den disappeared. Only God was there. And this is the purity, the innocence that shut the lion's mouth. Are you catching the secret? Is something gelling inside you? Awakened from the dream of matter, Daniel walked free in the kingdom of God on earth. In his pure consciousness, his Christ mind, he realized that there is only God. And that therefore his reality had to be that God. There could not be God and man. Daniel had been living consciously with the knowledge that only God is here. And this was his consciousness long before the conspiracy against him. This is the realization in you that opens heaven like a scroll and dissolves every impossible situation in your life, including the so-called experience of death itself. And so, it is said that the Lord sent his angel, the angel of grace, flowing with power, love, life, harmony. Because when the belief in matter and personal identity as matter is overcome, you are face to face with God. And you are realizing what every initiate on the path ultimately will realize, that you are the only being in the universe. This is purity. There is no separate you, no separate universe, no separate human race, no separate anything. There is only the living God, the self of us all. Lose this, and you lose yourself. Find this, and you are baptized by the Holy Ghost and reborn into eternity, here and now. Please hold the radiant silence. We are not in the lion's den now. We are not in the cosmic mind now. We have broken through into another universe. The tides of time are being replaced by the gentle flow of eternity itself. All is silent in your infinite kingdom. All is pure consciousness. In the clear, eternal day. And one day, in this clear, eternal day, you will see forever. Gone will be the cosmic dream. Gone will be the lions of hate and prejudice, of fear and pain and suffering. Gone will be the den itself. And the stone at the mouth of the cave will dissolve. Gone will be history and geography. Gone will be the centuries. Even the stars will be smaller than the smallest atom until they too vanish into nothingness. I am come, pure consciousness, I discern the eternal smile of reality. I transfigure the earth, and the glory of your own infinite spirit bathes the universe. The great secret that must have been born in your consciousness as you reviewed the story of Daniel is this. The mystical death of your material self and of the material world in your consciousness moves you past the line, past the threshold that separates matter from spirit. All the material symbols vanish, and they are the forms of earth. They vanish as in a dream. Mortality may linger briefly as vague, distant memory, and then strange new lights appear, informations, disappearing as quickly as you see them. A new world quivers within your soul, like an infant about to be born. You are becoming a transparency for the kingdom of God. And the world is new, for Christ has entered in. Thank you, John, for reminding us of your precious words. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you should be called the Son of God. Therefore, the world knoweth you not, because it knoweth him not. Behold, now you are the Son of God, and it doth not yet appear what you shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Purity must be the purity of God itself. Any lesser purity is duality. Those living words of John float into consciousness to remind us that only as we are born of spirit, purified of universal material beliefs, can we enjoy the treasures of reality. Yes, it was a mighty fortunate day for the world when Joel was told in 1963 to begin taking his students into the mystical way. That meant the Christ way, the Daniel way, the way of fulfillment, the way of divine birth. I think now we can see the similarities between Daniel and Jesus very clearly. They seem to be unmistakable. Daniel and Jesus both teach the message of incorporeality. Both teach the mystical death. The death that must precede your mystical rebirth. The eye of Daniel never lived inside the lion's den, just as the eye of Jesus never lived inside a physical form. Both faced impossible odds. Daniel faced lions. Jesus faced the lion of Rome and the lion of ignorance. Daniel was locked in a sealed den. Jesus was buried in a sealed tomb. Both survived. By dying to the illusion of corporeality and living in the Christ consciousness, outside time, outside matter, outside form, in the kingdom of spirit on earth as it is in heaven. Daniel explained his survival by the word innocency, purity, purified consciousness, free of material beliefs. And Jesus confirmed that statement when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And just as the incorporeal Daniel survived death in a lion's den, the incorporeal Jesus survived death on a cross. Both teaching that the powers of this world have no power over your incorporeal spiritual identity. Now, if Infinite Way taught you only that and nothing more, it would still be 2,000 years ahead of the mumbo-jumbo that has been fed to billions of worshippers about the wrath of God, about corporeality, about punishment, about all of the unreal, untrue, ineffectual rubbish that is pushed into the brains of human beings on this earth every day while man walks without the Christ within. The illumined live outside human form. Jesus lived outside human form. The great prophets lived outside human form. As immortal spirit, in a pure consciousness, free of material concepts. Later, we are actually going to walk into the lion's den to see if we can follow the steps of Daniel and transcend the physical universe, living freely in our spiritual universe while seemingly surrounded by a world filled with the lions of matter. Please hold the silence. Let the indwelling Christ overflow . Let your heart not be troubled. am with thee unto the end of the world. I am the only one who stood where the world saw Daniel and the lions. I was never in a dungeon. I am the infinite self, eternally free. And if you would be my son, be myself, and you will see me face to face.